I said, in my wildest dreams, I never thought I'd ever receive a call from ESPN. I said, I am the least sports person in the universe, probably. But anyway, so many of the, you know, if you look at on the web, that every one of these televangelists use sports figures to enhance their credibility in some way. So.
I was surprised that Jakes is still using Smith and Sanders.
But anyhow, we're studying this idea of what a covenant or a contract is. That's what we went through yesterday. And we found out where the figure eight for infinity comes from, and where shaking hands comes from, and where raising your hand to take an oath comes from. But the contract that God made was, he swore by himself. He put Abraham to sleep and cut the covenant. And that means that there's really nothing for you to do, if you can understand it, except accept it. Except see the grace. And the essence of the contract is, it's a blood covenant. All ancient societies that were tribal in nature had some kind of a blood covenant. Even kids, little kids. I remember in our little club that we had, we made them cut your hand and shake hands on it. And it's sort of it's almost there's a sense of awe about the blood.
Did that stick with you? That cutting your hand with somebody.
Did it stick with me?
I mean, yeah. Do you think about it or whatever you're agreeing?
No. It's just some stupid childish thing.
Yeah.
But it came very important in something that happened to me. When I was in Lebanon and held hostage by Barry and those two Arabs, I didn't press charges. And so one of the Arabs is a guy named Ibrahim Akari, and he was totally apolitical at the time, but once when Israel invaded Lebanon, he became massively politicized. And I received a call. I've told you about this before, but remember that when those three Americans were taken hostage and held, Terry Wade or something, I can't remember their names, I got a call from Lebanon. And the guy asked me, are you the only Anthony that was in Lebanon, or do you know Ibrahim Akari? And I said, yes. And he said, well, Ibrahim believes that he owes you a blood debt. And so, long story short, if I would have gone over there and said to the world what I had said to Ibrahim in our discussions about who Israel is and all that, then they were going to release the hostages. But I couldn't get permission from the American State Department to do it. So, but the blood debt and the blood covenant is still in most tribal cultures, which most of the cultures in the Middle East are. Their loyalties aren't to nations. Their loyalties are to their tribes. And it's still in place. But in America, we've forgotten what a blood covenant is. And we even don't know what the blood of Christ meant. And so let's see if we can get a little better understanding of what that blood covenant was. Let's go to 1 Peter. starting in chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were redeemed with corrupt, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but is manifest in these last times for you. Now, what does the blood say to us? Did Jeff get transfigured?
He's having a sinus attack.
What does the blood say? And the one that is mostly preached is that your sin has been forgiven by the blood of Christ. But it's so much more than that. If you went, and you, I don't, well, yeah, let's, somebody go to Ephesians 1, verse 7. Somebody else go to, Pete, go to Ephesians 1.
Okay.
Sue, go to Romans 5, verse 9. Gary, go to Hebrews 13. Jeff, go to 1 John 1. And, oh, God. Wade, go to Revelation 1. So what does the blood, what? What?
I just laughed and I told Wade to go home. I get to read too.
The blood says we were redeemed and forgiven. Yeah, this is your, again, I'm giving you another chance here.
Thank you.
So Pete, read Ephesians 1.
Okay.
Verse 7.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
So we're redeemed and forgiven of sins from his blood. Sue, read Romans 5, verse 9.
Okay. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?
Okay. So we're justified by his blood. Gary?
12.
Hebrews 13, verse 12.
Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate.
Okay, now read verse 20 and 21.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Okay, so we're sanctified and we're made perfect to do his will. That's kind of big. Now, Jeff, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Okay, so we are redeemed, forgiven, we're justified, we're sanctified, and now we're cleansed. Now, Revelation 1, verse 5.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Okay, Now, Pete, read Colossians 1, verse 20, and then Gary, read Revelation 12, verse 11. And Wade, read Hebrews 9, verse 14. So, all right?
All right. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Okay, so peace comes through the blood. Total peace. Now, who did I say do next?
Me. 12:11.
Yeah.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Okay, then Hebrews 9,
verse
14.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Okay. So what? Look, let's think about it now. By the blood, what does the blood say? The blood says that we are redeemed and forgiven with no effort on our part. The blood says we're justified with no effort. The blood says we're sanctified with no effort. The blood says we're cleansed with no effort. We're washed with no effort. That we have peace with no effort. That we've overcome with no effort. All things. And we've been made perfect to do His will. In every good work. By His blood. And now finally, the blood has purged our conscience from the dead works. There's not much left to do. The only battlefield then, as I've said since day one, is your mind. Your mind will deny every one of these things. Your mind will tell you you have something to do, you have to take action, you have to prove something. But the mystery of God is that you are, just as He was made manifest in the flesh, but justified in the Spirit. That just blows our mind, because we always have to justify ourselves in the flesh. But if we're in Him, you cannot justify yourself in the flesh, ever. Again, we're redeemed, forgiven, justified, sanctified, cleansed, washed, made perfect peace, we overcome, we've made perfect to do His will in every good work, and it's purged our conscience from dead works in order to serve the living God, all by the blood. The other part, if you read, it won't take us too long, but we have instant access. Well, let's go there. Hebrews 4, about Hebrews 10.
It's interesting how that trumps everything.
Yeah.
And the purpose is that we might serve God. And that's, I think that's the definition of being empty.
We could just remember half those things when we get...
You don't have to remember them. You just have to stop giving your breath to anything that you feel or your mind says. Now, the one biggie that we have, Hebrews 10. And verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we know we're sanctified by the blood. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sin and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we have access to God at all times. Not God away from us, but God oneness with. And we are, and this is all, everything that's described here is what's necessary to be on that mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, in perfect peace. The only thing it costs you is all the crap that you believe and all your opinions. But every time you exert an opinion or an idea or take a stand or have any person that you haven't forgiven from the heart, then what that does is it pulls you off, it pulls you down from the strong city and pulls you back into the environment of time and space. So the question is, and again, the only purpose of time and space is to see whether anything can take you off that mercy seat. I'll tell you something else is necessary. Can you preach it? Can you see the fullness of this a minute? What?
I see it. It's perfection. That where he said that by one offering is perfected. Perfected doesn't leave anything out. And all those, that list that you read, just as it's like a big circle, it's covered all bases.
His efficacy in this too.
When I was in Korea, we were setting up seismic systems to monitor, you know, what was going on. And we had also had atmospheric systems. That's another story. And we were up near the demilitarized zone. I was, and I was looking for a location for another seismic site. And I pushed a branch, and then a butterfly mine, which Americans had put there. The butterfly mines are dropped from airplanes, and they look like a spider, and they have 8 or 10 different wires with several charges on each wire, and they fall into a tree, and then so they're anti-personnel mines because you would come along and push a branch. Then it ostensibly sets off the whole damn thing. And so it's pretty effective as an anti-personnel mine. And so I'm up there alone, about 5 and 10 miles from where our base camp was. And I pushed the branch, and fortunately only 2 of those wires went off. But I was inundated with I remember they dug 11 pieces of shrapnel out of me. But I had to drive from that place where there was no road back to our base camp. And I was I was totally and completely covered in blood. And I'd pass out a couple times, you know, and unfortunately I'd stop before I passed out. And I can't tell you the awe of seeing your own blood like that. I mean, this thing about fear and awe of blood, if you're covered in your own blood, there is a fear and an awe that's unbelievable. And they had to get a helicopter and take me into Seoul and all that kind of good stuff. But we've lost that awe of a sense of blood because it has been explained. It was only relatively recently that the first one that understood the significance of the blood in terms of what it does was a guy named Harvey in 1615, and he established the fact that it was circulation. But before that, and even all up and through till recently, we have made the blood commonplace. I mean, we go get blood transfusions, and we get them, and so something has happened in our culture to take the awe away from blood. But as I said yesterday, something happened at the fall, and something happened to our blood, and it was made unholy in some way. And this is why the virgin birth was so absolutely necessary, because in a child the blood type comes from the Father. The blood comes, and so it became vital that there be a different way, that blood, that there could be a life force, because the life is in the blood. But the life isn't in our blood. The life is in His blood. And in His blood, all sin is forgiven. But it's what we do, what the world does with this, they just, you know, it's, you've heard me talk about sloppy agape. You just sort of throw forgiveness around like it's, and you miss the significance of the blood. And so it's only a blood brother out of the same womb can you ever call a friend, as we talked about yesterday. And it's, I mean, you can use the word friend as much as you want to, but that's not really the definition of a friend. A friend is somebody that knows everything there is to know about you and loves you and accepts you anyway. But it has to do with this blood mystery. What?
Well, it's funny hearing you talk about it. And it's like, you're pretty good with words, but you stumble trying to capture this essence because it's so much beyond the words that you can speak to. So it's like if it's not revealed to you, it just passes by. This is one of the most essential conversations that we can have.
But you can't. It's hard to explain that. You know, that's why it's so. All of the things, the life is in the blood. One of the death penalty offenses in Judaism was to eat, in the law was to eat blood or drink blood. That's why the meat had to be kosher. The blood had to be drained. It's so much more. We're forgiven because we're made alive by His blood, not our blood.
You know, it's like what you just said, the blood was, it was forbidden to eat the blood. A lot of people eat and drink blood, I mean, in some societies. But I imagine the reason it's forbidden is because it goes against the type of eating His flesh and drinking His blood, and it would spoil that picture. It's like marriage.
Well, in these, all of these different things that we read about, that, let's go to Job 42, I think. Yeah. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And what to repent, and in other places it talks about that you repent in sackcloth. All of those things have an implication of the blood also, because the sackcloth, when you repent it in sackcloth, sackcloth isn't like a burlap bag, it's a particular kind of cloth that's made from the hair of the sacrificed animal. And so when you put on the sackcloth, you are saying to God and to yourself that you deserve the punishment for that sacrificial animal had just undergone, the death. And so you would just that's death or sacrifice of that animal was for what you'd had done. So that, it's a massive meaning. And the ashes are your your lot was to be burned. Not, I mean, and you were ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remember, dust, it talks about dust is made from the small pieces of blood. Remember? And the universe was made from the blood of God. But the word dust in the Hebrew comes from small pieces of that Adama. So the whole thing is, it's all about, that's why Paul could say with a certainty that he saw himself as the chief of sinners. And that's why if you've been around me long enough, you know that I don't doubt that a second. My next breath is a gift of God. And so this whole thing about understanding the mystery of the blood can only, there's no way to even think about it in any kind of depth or integrity without coming to the conclusion of your own nothingness. As long as you want to believe the fiction of your own worth, and then you'll always believe it. You'll never come to this. You'll never come in humility. You won't see the mystery of God.
It's a good phrase. Fiction of your own worth.
Yeah. And that fiction lasts all the way to the end.
Yeah.
When I first became a believer, I thought that if anybody would understand this, it would be the people in my mother's rest home, because they had seen the futility and emptiness of life, and most of them were on their deathbed. Boy, was I in for a shock. They are the most opinionated, I'll tell you one goddamn thing,
clinging
to that illusion of self importance.
That's probably just in the Midwest though.
Huh?
That's probably just in the Midwest.
This was in Arizona.
Isn't that Midwest?
No.
Southwest.
Most of the people that live in Arizona move from the Midwest. That's probably the problem.
Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. Anyway, that's... We'll probably spend another day on the blood because it's so important. Anybody have any response or thoughts? You look like you're about to say something.
I'm aware of that awe of the blood, and certainly the hymn writers from 150 years ago had it, but I'm uncomfortable with it, and I just, don't quite feel it. So I pray to be prevented by it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. The one thing that the whole thing of what the Bible calls concision or scarification, where the certain, I guess it's a Shia Muslims, a particular holiday, they walk through beating themselves with chains, and sometimes the chains have those little things on them, and as they walk and beat themselves, then it's the blood rushes from their backs. And again, it's a vain type of this understanding of blood. It's sad, but
yeah. While you're reading, about halfway into it, I could feel my flesh resisting, trying not to hear because of the totality of it. This takes you to your ultimate and complete death, and his life is the only one, and so I'm totally destroyed. And so I could feel myself trying to do something.
Now, the other interesting, the same word for blood is the same word used for the fruit of the grape or the juice of the grape. So that's why the wine and the grape become synonymous. That's by with the wine we drink his blood. But it's symbolically it's far deeper than we can ever think about. It means that it's his blood that's running through our veins, not ours. It's his blood by which we are given forgiveness of sin because we're dead. And his blood is the only thing that gives us life. But all of those things are not easy to talk about. It can only be apprehended by it.
I think that's where the dissonance set in, is the forgiveness and the fact that sin is dealt with. You know, we have such a sin consciousness that we just really resist believing that it's all forgiven. I mean, I feel that. I know it's true, and yet flesh doesn't want to.
Yeah, the evidence that we believe that is that we hide.
That's right.
All right, anybody else? Take a big guy.
Your comment reminded me of, what's the name, Heyman?
Who better to
be honest by ESPN?
Yeah. Do you remember which button to push, Pete?
Heyman, yeah, I do.
Push that button.
Push that button. Simple.